Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, editor of PC. On this edition of the show, I present to you a special treat. Don Tracy, associate editor of PC, sits down with Chris Williams, international managing director of Aloga Europe and ICS. Among various topics on the agenda, they discuss what's needed to support advanced therapy medicinal products from a temperature standpoint, the current state of 3PLs in Europe, and much more. Let's take a listen.
Chris, thank you for joining us. I really do appreciate your time. So over the last 3 years, the EMA has recommended for authorization more than 130 different active substances, including, you know, active therapy, medicinal products, and cell and gene therapies. So what would you say is required to support the unique temperature requirement of these products, you know, such as the cold chain, cryogenic storage, all that?
Firstly, there's a growing percentage of the products that are being developed today from vaccines to cell and gene therapies, which do indeed require cold chain storage and handling. In fact, in a recent report, it suggested that cold chain products will continue to grow at twice the rate of non-cold chain products throughout 2024. And whilst these products, you know, offer fantastic promise for patients worldwide, they really do rely on a secure cold chain. And any exposure to temperatures outside of specified ranges can really threaten the product's viability, which often will result in kind of wasted, lost revenue, and importantly, delayed patient access. So successful logistics providers, you know, requires really highly choreographed shipping schedules. They need cold chain storage infrastructure. They also need to have temperature controlled packaging and also temperature tracking technology in order for us to adhere to those kind of strict regulatory guidance. And logistics strategies need to be tailored to unique product and customer requirements. And just an example, you know, a growing number of products require ultra-frozen or cryogenic storage, and indeed cell therapies remain viable only within a narrow range of temperature and timelines. You know, so a robust cryogenic infrastructure is globally critical to enable both a timely delivery and reliable access to the ATMPs, and also to accelerate that time to treatment. And we've continued to expand our cold and cryogenic storage capacity across the Aloga and ICS network. And most recently, we've added facilities in France and the Netherlands, Spain, and in the UK.
Excellent. What's the current state of, you know, third-party logistics in Europe, and, you know, what areas do you think need to be improved?
As pharma companies bring more innovative medicines and products to market, you know, us as 3PLs, we need to continue to deliver cost-effective, compliant, and indeed efficient services to help ensure that those products reach the patients who need them. 3PLs will play an increasingly important role as supply chains become that much more complex and, of course, across extended geographies. And I don't necessarily see or view it as an area of an improvement, but it's imperative that 3PLs continue to evolve to keep pace with and support the innovation that's being developed by pharma manufacturers today. And indeed, actually, over the last 30 years, 3PL providers have evolved with the market to support manufacturers from the early inception of outsourcing of their logistics requirements through to launching of, say, generics and biosimilars. And now we're seeing the emergence of more targeted therapies like cell and gene therapies, which are intended for a much smaller patient population. And as such, yeah, we will continue to adapt our supply chains accordingly.
So how have expectations of pharma companies changed in terms of what they expect a 3PL partner to provide?
Yeah, this is something we've seen quite a lot. So pharma companies want a partner that can deliver integrated support, you know, spanning multiple countries and geographies to help them bring their products to market more efficiently. A strong 3PL should not only offer best-in-class storage and distribution capabilities, but they should also provide a portfolio of other value-added services, you know, all of which should be underpinned by rigorous quality standards. You know, we recently seen a significant increase in demand for several of our services. For example, we've seen an increase in demand for more integrated and technological services, such as the implementation of advanced tracking and traceability solutions, and also always on that theme of cold chain capability. And one other component, which is worthy of note, you know, there's also a heightened focus on the commitment to establishing more efficient and responsible operations across the supply chain. And we're approaching that challenge in a number of ways, including how we design new facilities. So for instance, you know, we've recently achieved BREEAM outstanding certification for our warehouse that we opened in Spain this year. And we have another one of the same certification opening later in 2025. And these are really highly efficient buildings to help, you know, help reduce the impact on the environment.
So your company recently opened new facilities in Spain and the Netherlands. How would you say that those investments fit with your strategy?
Our goal is to deliver best-in-class solutions that enable our partners to really achieve their goals of launching products in multiple markets. And through ongoing conversations that we have with both new and existing partners, you know, we've seen a significant demand in pan-European storage and distribution solutions. And given our existing footprint, you know, we have more than 560,000 square meters of storage space across 11 countries in Europe and more than 100,000 square meters of managed storage space in the US. You know, we're already uniquely positioned to provide international, regional, and in-country 3PL solutions for our clients. These recent investments really expand our capacity to store pharmaceutical products, ensuring that we can scale to meet our clients' growing business needs and deliver the logistic support needed to ensure products can reach patients who need them. I guess in parallel with those investments, we've also evolved how we operate to deliver a more seamless, unified support. You know, we're moving away from more of a country-by-country model to one transatlantic team that can deliver solutions tailored to those needs of our biopharma partners and their customers, but on an international scale. This shift is very much aligned with our goal to deliver repeatable, consistent, and high quality experience for our customers across all the markets in which we serve. And these investments and decisions are very, very well aligned with our overarching goal of how we can continue to improve our client experience whilst delivering the solutions that they need more efficiently to launch in their markets around the world.
You know, so moving forward, what do you believe 3PLs can do to support supply chains more efficiently?
This is a great question. And I'll focus on two key areas, if I may. The first one is around heightened collaboration across the supply chain. And the second one is around continued investment in infrastructure and innovative solutions. So to the first point, you know, we continually emphasize to our partners the importance of initiating logistics and distribution strategy planning earlier in their development process. For example, we would recommend pharma companies engage with us at least 6 to 12 months prior to their product's projected launch date in any market so that we have sufficient time to kind of understand and answer the critical questions and develop a strategy tailored for their product needs and product launch. Companies need to identify how they want to distribute their products, you know, whether it would be via 3PL or via wholesale, and then establish, you know, quality systems and channel strategies that enable broad patient access and really do comply with the regulatory requirements in all markets, because of course they'll be different. And to the second point, pharma companies continue to develop more complex products, and we as logistics providers need to continue to invest in solutions and the infrastructure to support the growth and the unique requirements of the products that are being developed today.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. Be sure to stay in the loop of all our latest updates by visiting pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or our Audioboom page. Take care, everyone.